Tuesday morning to you. Good morning. It is another edition of Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR. Bob Heck with you. Thanks for tuning in. Before we get started, the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade celebrating the generations this year. And, of course, PCTV will have live coverage for you. Join us on July 4th, beginning at 9:30 for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield. You can see it on PCTV Access Pittsfield, Channel 1301, PCTV Selects 1, and the Pittsfield Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. And live coverage of the 4th of July Parade supported by our friends at Greylock Federal Credit Union, Berkshire Community College, Access Plus, and KJ Nosh Catering, among others. And really thrilled to have Joanne Billow joining us in studio today. Joanne, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. My
it
God,
morning.
I haven't said
yes,
that.
I know. Get your buns out of bed.
Wow. My buns are up.
And I mean, I asked you about it and you weren't sure if you wanted to do this.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, it's old hat. You'll be fine.
Oh, man. It's like, who cares? Apparently you do.
Well, I mean, of course, Joanne, a mainstay in morning radio for such a long time here in the Berkshires. How did that all get started? How did you end up at 105, whatever the hell it was called back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, went through a lot of changes,
oh,
didn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Well, I started in radio in the 70s and in Burlington, Vermont. And I loved Burlington. It's a great place to live. Spent 4 years there. And then they changed their format to the Music of Your Life with Al Ham. And I don't know if you remember that format, but it was crooners, the 40s.
Okay, yeah.
And the music was on giant reel-to-reel. So you just sat there and, like, read a liner every now and then. So I'm like, no, this is not. So I put out a few applications. And do you remember Mike Bunn?
I don't remember Mike
Bunn. Mike Bunn, BRK. I don't know if he's still working there or not. He most recently BRK. He interviewed me for a position for the AM station, WBECAM.
Okay.
Middays. And I took it. I'm from Shaftesbury, Vermont, just north of Bennington. So it was an hour, and it was closer to my family. So I loved it. Plus, my brother happened to be in Pittsfield at the time. So it seemed like a really good move. And so I did middays for a year. And then all those guys from who were at BEC bought BRK. Remember Huck? Camp Holy, Bob Shade, Nez Link, all these people bought BRK. So, like, one day we all went to work and nobody was there. So that's how I got mornings. And back then we simulcast. And then eventually we split it. It was Rock 105. And then eventually Live 105. And then, unfortunately, I remember radio deregulation came into effect. And I think that was the big change, downfall of radio, because that allowed one owner to own multiple stations in a market. And that's exactly what happened. And it was not good. No one liked it. I felt so bad for someone like Eric Green. You know, these companies would buy us, and Eric would do middays at this station. He'd do overnights at another station. In Florida, he was afternoon drive. And do you think we got a penny more for being on these extra stations? No. awful. Yeah. And then, so then it was Whoopi. We bought whoever. I can remember sitting in that studio, literally, Bob, we went through six changes of ownership. And it was like six jobs, but you're in the same location. It was so bizarre. And that was a hard part, going through all those changes. People changing things just because they could, you know?
Right.
Not because it was good for you or the station or the community, or just because they could. It was hard. But and then eventually they bought Whoopi, and then they put me on that because I was old.
Yeah, talk to me about, because you were on 105
for years.
A generation
literally grew up with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you ended up on Whoopi.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I hated it because of the way they did it. Mm-hmm. They Yeah, it was bad. I can't even remember the owner at the time, to be honest with you. Kind of blocked out that whole thing. I just felt so bad for Alex because one day he's on the air, the next day I'm in the building, and I'm like, it was awful. And of course, the media was not nice about it. And poor Alec had to shine his happy face and say that it was okay when actually he was not happy. I mean, it was just not a good time. So I ended up on Whoopi, and then that's when they sold. Oh my God, remember they sold the Signal 105 was sold to Springfield, and they put a sports station on it. Do you remember that?
Of course, you were
on it.
That's where, that's kind of where I came into the story, because Vox had bought Whoopi, like, in between the time I got the job part-time at 105.5. One of the stations got sold.
Okay.
You know how that goes.
Oh my
God. Like, well, crap, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
And then, I'm in the midst of moving my stuff out. I had interviewed with Sharon Steele. I was hired by Sharon Steele. And, like, I'm finally making my last, bringing the last of my crap out. And Big Mike's on there, the air. And I'm like, so I called the station. I'm like, can I speak to Sharon, please? And I forget whoever it was saying, oh, Sharon's not here anymore. I'm like, well, damn it.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Wow.
And then, but obviously they kept me on. And,
yeah. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, no, that was...
Boy, we've been through hell, Mama.
Right. But, when they sold, we were at 105.5. I think I was doing afternoons there at the time. And I remember Steve Murray walking in.
Yes.
And he said, so do you think ownership's going to buy us gas cards? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, we sold the Signal to a station in Springfield, so I guess that's where we're going now. And we didn't know what was going on.
Oh, my God, it was awful. And people couldn't listen to 105, so that was one of the reasons why they put me on the Whoopi Signal. But people around the county couldn't get it. Everybody was upset. I was upset. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, no, it was people. Yeah. I remember people being really upset at the time.
Yeah.
Because then eventually we got flipped to 95.9.
Yep.
And that's when I started doing mornings there. And Whoopi was on, got moved to 101.7.
Yes.
But that was in
North Adams,
and you could listen on the
AM.
You
could barely get it down here. Oh. Radio.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good
so
time.
Let's so, just say that Greylock saved my life.
Yeah, I was just going to say, at what point did you decide this isn't for me? I mean,
well, it was probably in the early 2000s. I was like, oh, my God. I'm in my... and I'm getting close to retirement. I have nothing because radio didn't give us 401ks. It didn't give us anything.
Right.
However, I do remember one of the companies within the flip-flop of six or seven companies gave us a 401k, but the next one took it away. So it was like, okay, what now what? So I remember I was doing a radio broadcast at Greylock in Adams. John Bissell was there. Who doesn't love John Bissell?
Right.
I walked up to him and I said, off the record, does anyone ever leave your marketing department? And he looked at me and he said, why would you leave radio? And I went, please, save me. And he said, wow. He goes, wow. He goes, tell you what. He goes, I'm working on something. It's going to take a couple of years to come to fruition, but you stay in touch. And I said, every week, once a month, what do you want? Once a quarter. I said, okay. Almost to 2 years to the day he hired me, the plan was to open an in-house ad agency at Greylock to do marketing for smaller credit unions. Mm-hmm. And he thought I would be perfect for that. And it turns out he was right. It was so much fun. And we did it for 10 years. And it got to the point literally where we said, okay, we're at the point where we have to invest and get more people. Or do we respectfully close the doors and work for Greylock? Because Greylock, you know, we were a small ad department. And we...
Right.
you know, did what we could for Greylock, but it was the basics. And we were headed into a logo change and a new credit card. There was a lot of things coming. And we're like, you know, my gut says we need to focus on our home, our parent company. And after much discussion, and it was hard, though, because it felt like you were giving up on your baby. But 10 years is very respectable. So I didn't feel like it was certainly not a failure. It was a decision made for us and for business. Anyway, it proved to be the right decision. And we went forward and did a huge logo change, that beautiful little tree.
Oh, yeah.
The new Greylock logo. Thank you very much. And yeah, it was good. So, yeah, so Greylock literally saved my life. And John Bissell, I used to say to him, you know, he said he saw things in me that I didn't. You know, when you're beat up, used, and, you know, I want to say used and abused, but when you're at a point where you're not really feeling positive about yourself, you don't always see your benefits or your, I didn't think I had any marketable skills. And he thought, yeah, I did. So to this day, I credit him for saving my life. And I could never have retired. I've been retired 5 years now. I could never have retired without Greylock and John Bissell. So,
I mean, I sort of have a similar story, you know, and, you know, I ended up, I was let go. I ended up catching on with BRK. I did some other part-time stuff.
Sales? Didn't you do sales for a while?
Yeah, and then they brought me back in to be the GM at WNAW, and like it just wasn't like the building was empty all the time, so it's just like
weird.
It didn't do it for me. And I went back to school.
You need people.
Well, yeah, I need people. I mean, you know, when we're going through, usually it's just like, hey, Sean, what do you think of this idea?
Yeah.
And we bounce ideas off of each other and things like that. And that's how a lot of stuff gets done.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there in my office and I'm like,
I can't do this.
So I ended up going back to school because I'm like, well, radio's not going to get me to retirement.
I remember.
And then through hard work and dedication, I ended up back in radio. But this is a little different because it's on the nonprofit side. And like I learned and discovered in school that like, I prefer to be on the nonprofit side because it's a lot different. And like, we're doing really cool things here on the PCTV.
Much more control. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, usually there is one small problem, though, because in like meetings at in commercial radio, I'd say stupid things and they'd be like, yeah, we can't do that. Like, I'd throw out ideas.
They always said no. Right.
Now, where do we get the money for that? That's your job, sales department.
Yeah.
How do we do that? And, and then I say stupid things here and they're like,
go do it.
You go do it. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, no. During COVID, I'm like, why don't we do a 30 for 30 documentary on the Pittsfield 4th of July parade, the history of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go do it.
That was awesome.
Yeah, well, I thought somebody else was going to go do it, but then they had me go do it. And I'm like, all right. But like once I got into it, I'm like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing that.
Right. A little secret. Sean asked me for a recommendation for you back when they were looking to hire you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I said, don't do it.
Well, I mean, we've had some battles back in the day that where there were like 40 of us in that jock room.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So many good memories.
Absolutely.
I know it sounds like I'm very negative about it, but yeah, very good memories. I mean, you know, one of the best things about it today, Bob, and I've been off the air since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That's... You do the math. Holy moly.
It's an eternity.
People, oh my God, people are just incredible. Sometimes I'll run in people and they're, oh my God, I remember when you, and they'll share a memory. And of course, I don't remember it, but I love that they do. Oh my God, I'm sure that happens to you, right? Like people will say, when you blanket, and you're like, wow, I did that.
Like, do you miss any of it, though?
I miss the laughter. I miss, oh, my God, the interaction. People that would call made the show. And I used to I used to pivot. I'd always have a plan. I'd always went in with a plan. But I was also, I think I was very key to know when to go a different route.
Absolutely.
And that's what today's radio people don't do.
They don't have a plan.
They don't have a clue. Yeah. Yeah. And the phone calls are what made the show.
Absolutely.
And oh my God, if that phone didn't ring, it just, it killed me. It was like, okay, how do I get them to call? How do I get, today I don't know if people do that so much, you know, are have that interactive, unless it's a talk show, of course, but.
Right. I don't know if they even solicit calls anymore.
No, I don't think so.
You know,
either.
It's just, it's rough. I know the request hours are gone.
Yeah. It's different.
And I know on one station there's Morning Drive, and then the rest of it's not even local anymore.
Right.
The rest of it's from the quote-unquote home office. And it's like, that's not what I got it to radio for. And,
no.
And you know, more importantly, I cut my teeth as, I'm sure you remember this vaguely, but I cut my teeth as A.J. Kelly on Whoopi at Nights.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm 23.
You're a baby.
I'm 23 years old. I'm doing oldies at night. But that's how, like, and then I moved over to 105.5 at night. That's really, like, how I learned to do radio.
Yeah, you
could give me classes and teach me how to do it, but... You know, until you're actually in the chair doing it,
you got to do it.
You can't.
And were we doing 45s then? We were, weren't we?
No. I came in. Luckily, I came in on the in the computer age.
Oh, you did.
So yeah.
Oh man, I was spinning 45s, and I remember breaking Amadeus, Rock Me Amadeus on the radio live. Like I'm never playing this again. Oh, those are good days.
But I remember the days like when you were on Whoopi and Larry went on vacation. And I would, A.J. Kelly would be the news guy, and you would constantly screw that up, hilariously. You would constantly, oh, here's A.J. Kelly for the news, and then I'd do the news, and then you'd come out of it, Bob Hack, thank you so much for the news.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, damn it.
I've never been good at names. Still.
I'm like, why am I A.J. Kelly? Because we already have a shout for that, so that's what your name's going to be.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, all the good times. All the good times. So,
crazy.
You were at Greylock for?
About a month shy of 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it went by fast. And, I retired at 21. My mom, it was still considered the tail end of COVID.
Oh, right, yes.
And my mom had been living with me through COVID. She had broken her arm January of 20. And so I had brought her down to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when COVID hit, I was just so grateful she was with me because I cannot imagine her living in Vermont by herself through that horrible time. Instead, she was with me. And of course... You know, Greylock went from never allowing anyone to work at home for security matters or whatever reason, a lot of reasons, to everyone working at home. And I credit that technical staff, what do you call it? IT department.
Yes.
In literally a week's time, getting everyone set up to work from home. I've never seen anything like it. These kids worked around the clock. For a couple of weeks, and everybody was then working home, and it worked. And wow, I can remember my mom giggling and everything. We can stay home together. Oh, so cute. And then I lost her in May of 21, and then a month later I retired. And oh, I got to tell you, that was hard because every routine changed.
Well, even with COVID, I mean, you were someone that was basically in your office. In the office, one position or another,
your entire career.
Love
the office, yes.
So how was it? And I kind of went through the same thing.
Yes.
So how was it for you to transition to working at home?
It was awful. I can remember thinking, like you lose your mojo, you lose your rhythm. Like half the stuff I needed is still in the office. And I'm like, oh, it was very difficult. But the worst part was everybody on Zoom. I used to cry. I remember tearing up when I'd see faces I haven't seen and Wick's like, oh my God, I really miss you. It was hard. It was hard. We got through it though, but yeah, it was not easy.
And What point did you head back to the office? Did you
marketing still not back?
That's crazy. I when we do Zoom meetings from time to time, and it's much more rare than it used to be, obviously, but to still see people like at home in these meetings, I'm like,
no, some people still are. They a lot of them came back. Yeah, but it took some time. It was a department by department. It was slow, you know. And now I don't want to speak because I don't know. It's been so long. But for a while there, like you had to go in the office at least once a week or something like that. But yeah,
You're listening to Morning Drive. Our guest is Joanne Billow this morning, and we're talking about her career in radio and beyond. And we'll take a short time out and be back with more on the other side of the break here on Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Tune for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you can show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
We are Rotary, people of action, and we add our support to great ideas to make real change happen. Whether supporting the local warm coat drive, fighting hunger with our local food pantries, or making more transformational gifts like the splash pad at Clap Park, Pittsfield Rotary is having fun and raising funds to change lives. Join us at our weekly lunches and get involved. Take action with us. Visit RotaryPittsfield.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, water lovers. This is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning. The Pittsfield 4th of July parade is coming, and it's celebrating the generations this year. And PCTV, of course, will have live coverage beginning on July 4th at 9:30 a.m. We'll have live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield, and you can check it out on PCTV Access Pittsfield Channel 1301, on the PCTV Select app, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. And the live coverage of the parade is supported by Greylock Federal Credit Union, the Boys and Girls Club of the Berkshires, Hudpucker's Pub and Grill, and Beacon Bank. Our guest this morning is Joanne Billow. Joanne, long history in radio, and I still can't believe it was 15 years you were at Greylock.
I know.
And then you retired. Talk about what you're doing now. Obviously, it's a big routine change.
But Bob, I'm telling you, I could not be happier. It really is a mind screw. It takes a little.
I was just going to say, how long does it take?
It took me a good 8 months to settle in and understand and switch, because you literally switch gears mm-hmm. from saving money all your life and living frugally and doing this. And all of a sudden now you're like, oh, I'm spending money. Oh, dear, that account's going down. Oh, dear. It's a total different thing. And in the beginning, you also feel like you have to schedule every moment of your time, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. I've worked a whole lifetime to not have to do that. Because, you know, when you're working, your life is very rigid. And you do this and you do that. And you try to balance your life and work time and lifetime and get everything in. And it's really hard. Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I got some flexibility here. And that's the best part of retirement, is being able to say, you know what? I think I'll do that tomorrow.
Yes. Well,
oh, you know what? I think I'll do that next week. I used to call it, I was procrastinating, but I didn't like the way that sounded.
Mm-hmm.
I plan. Now I plan.
Right. Just down the road.
Yeah. There's always tomorrow, Bob. There's always tomorrow. But yeah, it's that flexibility and that one that is like you realize, oh my God, this is what we work for. You know, and some people say, oh, you want to travel? I traveled a lot before I retired. I did a little initially, but now I'm at the point where, you know, I'm just happy being. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I have a very full life. I volunteer a lot, mm-hmm. and I'm at the Humane Society once a week, which, oh my God, I could not be happier at that place.
And what are you doing there?
Oh, I'm a front desk girl.
Ah.
I answer the phone. I deal with people who come in for the food bank. I don't know if you were aware of that, but there is a pet food bank at mm-hmm. the Humane Society, which is, wow, incredible to me. And I get to see all the happy endings. And yes, I fall in love every day, but my cat, Khmer, gave instructions when I started there that I'm not to bring anyone else home. So
very clear instructions.
Very clear. So I listened to Khmer, and but yeah, I love that. I do TBR. I'm on the programming committee. Mm-hmm. I volunteer for EFC. I do events for them. I like doing the event thing because it's like usually one and done, or you know, I like that. Because then it's not a huge commitment. Like, you know, if I were on a board, that's a huge commitment. That's a job. I don't
right,
want a job. I'm in a pitch league in the winter. And I like, oh, hospice. My God. You know, my mom was in hospice for not quite a full week. And, oh, my God, this organization, the things that they got us through it. It was such a, it's difficult to say, but it really was a positive experience.
Right.
You know, and so I've wanted to give back to them somehow. And I thought about, I can't do patient care, but my heart could not take that. I thought about maybe doing the phones, but that didn't feel right. So now I'm a finger knitter. I knit blankets.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. How did you get into that? Is that something you've always done, or is that something you picked up in retirement? Because you've donated a couple of blankets to us, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I swear to God, I just, when I was at Greylock, one of the gals had done, she called it arm knitting. She did it on her arms, mm-hmm. not finger. And I thought, oh, when I retire, I'm going to do that. And I remember having lunch with a girlfriend, Kelsey, and she goes, so what are your plans? And I said, well, one thing I'm definitely going to do is teach myself how to finger knit. And she goes, oh, cool. 3 years later, we're having Christmas lunch, and she gives me a finger knitting book, instructional book, and an 8-pack of yarn, and says, here you go. And I went, I looked at her and she goes, you said this 3 years ago. I went, oh, I did. So I started videos, you know, YouTube has everything. And I picked it up and now I love it. And, you know, it was getting a little costly. So I'm like, how can I do this for free? I know. We'll do joint donations. So now people actually will buy the yarn. They choose who they'd like to honor in the donation. I make the blanket. And so once a month, I drop off, you know, usually 7-8 blankets to hospice. And that's kind of like my way to give back. And I'm getting wonderful feedback from hospice. Patients just absolutely love them because they're so soft. And
yeah, you do 7-8 a month. How long does it take you to do a blanket?
Well, if I were to sit there and do it, it would probably be about 3.5-4 hours, not that long. But yeah, I do that many. Thanks to donations. I'm not paying for that. Yeah. So it's kind of like a win-win. I get to knit for free. People get the fuzzy-wuzzy of donating in their honor of their person. And then, of course, hospice gets to benefit. And the patient's family obviously keeps the blankets. And it's just, it just feels good. Feels right.
When did you stop getting up at 3:30 in the morning? How long did it take you to get over that? We're with Joanne Billow talking about retirement and time and radio and things like, because I remember that whole deal.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was hard.
The hardest transition ever to get into it first off and then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember I didn't take a week off between radio and Greylock like a fool. So my last day on radio was Friday. That Monday, I was so excited to start this new direction that I didn't give myself any time off. So I remember sitting at Greylock going, at 3 o'clock, I can't do this. Certainly not off. I can't do this job.
What do you mean I'm going to be here till 5?
I'm used to going home at noon. And Bob goes, my boss, says, oh, you can go home at noon. You just have to come back at 1. I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, that was a huge transition. Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, was it a big transition for, like, dealing with radio and then going into, like, an office setting where, you know, you're not.
Yes.
You don't have to necessarily prepare anything, but you're not also, like. I mean, obviously, marketing's creative, but it's a lot different than doing your own radio show.
Oh, my God. Well, see, back in those days, that's 2007, they had us on the third floor of the main building on West Street, and we shared office space with compliance. Now, these are all the people who are, you know.
The nerds.
The lawyers. The nerds looking at numbers. You in trouble, right. Audit. I'm like,
the boring people.
The quiet people. They put Joanne Billow in with the quiet people. And I can remember thinking, oh, my God, I can't work here. Because you had to keep your voice down. You know, because, like, you're in the compliance department. And, like, nobody spoke. It was so quiet in there. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do this. And I'll never forget Eileen Tremblay. She was in front desk, third floor front desk, HR department. She goes, what's wrong with you? I go, what do you mean? She goes, you're not being yourself. I went, I have to be quiet. She goes, just be yourself. Well, that's all I needed. And we woke up that department. Let's just say that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I can remember when you're in my review, my boss goes, oh, she needs to learn how to use her inside voice. I go, Bob, I don't have an inside voice. This is my voice. Right, you're right. Yeah, too funny. You can relate to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of like, it is a tough transition to go from like radio where you're doing 4 hours. And in mornings, we're doing 3-4 hours live. They're not.
Right. Which is the only way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, especially morning drive.
Oh, God.
And, you know, it's to go into like a regular office setting.
Oh, my God,
into, like,
it's hard.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, it took some time to adjust. It sure did. But I got there. And we had several offices. We went from third floor next door to KB Toys. So we had a whole area there. That was fun. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to South Street, that insurance agency across from the Colonial. That was very temporary. And then they put us in Allendale, which was the best.
I would imagine so. Like, you get all that parking
anyway. Oh, my God. There were so many departments there. And, you know, I did the social media, and I took care of all the PowerPoints for employee events. So I was taking a lot of pictures. And we used to have all these great parties where, like, we'd have, oh, my God, the best one was Cheetos Day, National Cheetos Day. And people would bring in recipes using Cheetos as part of the ingredient. Cheetos mac and cheese. Cheetos dip. I mean, just crazy stuff. I mean, it was so much fun. A couple of guys would dress in orange. I mean, those were the days. Oh, my God, they were fun. Yeah. And my boss, like, I couldn't sit long. I have to move. I have to get up and go. Because I would do my show standing. I don't know about you when you were on radio.
Depended on the day.
I stood in there. I had to stand in there because, you know, as you know, we were running this board, three computers, a phone, all this action. And I just had to stand. Anyway, so I was out of my office a lot. But I had reasons, but it just, I like to socialize, yeah.
Now, back to radio. I didn't really get to meet any cool people when I was doing radio. I think the coolest person I got to meet, I met better than Ezra, but that was in college radio. That had nothing to do with radio here.
One-hit wonders, I think there was a one-hit. Maybe. Anyway, yeah. No, I know what you mean.
So who did you get to meet anybody at that time?
Yeah, a lot.
You know, a lot of people weren't coming through the smaller market stations to promote anything.
No, but I was at one point the program director, and dealt with all the record labels. And back then, that was the day where record labels would try to encourage you to play their song they're pushing that week, that month, whatever. And, you know, this... being in the proximity of the Berkshires, you're close to Albany, you're close to Springfield, Boston, Hartford. So there were a lot of opportunities for shows. So, yeah, I got to meet a lot of artists backstage. My claim to fame, because I was in love with John Cougar. I don't know if you remember that. John Cougar was my man, and I knew in my head that if I ever met him and we locked eyes, that would be it. That I would be his and he would be mine, right? So Mark Knight, you remember Mark Knight?
Yes.
He did nights on Rock 105. So we drove to Worcester to go watch Cougar perform. It was the Scarecrow Tour, so that tells you it was the 80s, right? And I remember backstage and Kenny Aronoff, the drummer, comes up and goes, "So where are you all from?" We say, "The Berkshires."
That's where he's from.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes, "You drove all the way out here to see us?" And we're like, "Yeah." Really? What a silly thing to say. Of course. Well, John Cougar Mellencamp comes over and I can barely speak. I'm so starstruck. But we took this picture, and I wrapped my arm right around him. So his left hand arm is touching my right boob, and I got a picture of that. I was like, "Oh, that's my claim to fame."
Like, did you get a chance to interact? Obviously, you couldn't speak. I've heard, like, differing things on interactions with John Mellencamp.
You try to be cool, you know? Like, you don't know what to say to these people. Like, you know, and they give you a couple minutes. They're not there a long time with you because they're making the rounds and record reps are taking pictures and stuff. But, yeah, you try to be cool. But, oh, my God. And then, of course, my other claim to fame was I met Paul.
Met who?
Paul.
Oh, McCartney.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it took me a second.
Please.
How did you meet him?
It was the, oh, my God, come on, brain, kick in. Off the Ground Tour. And Fred Murray, oh, I loved him. He was the Mercury rep. And he invited me down to New York City. It was the press conference to announce his tour dates. So they let me go. Took the train down. And... before the press conference began, Fred goes, "You want to meet Paul?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes."
Yeah.
Yes. And then I'm standing before Paul McCartney, and there's all kinds of people around. And I am 10 years old at that moment in time, watching him on a black and white TV. And inside, I am screaming.
I can imagine.
Screaming like a little silly girl. I was, and I could not speak. I could not speak. He signed the CD to Joanne Love Paul. And I put that in my death box. I shouldn't say that. I put that in my, what do you call that box? With all your papers, you know, like when you pass.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, my safety box. My safety box.
Safety box. There you go.
Not my death box. And so I'll be passing that down through the generations. But yeah, oh my God, I couldn't speak. I was so starstruck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get starstruck.
Oh,
but
Bob.
I think Paul McCartney would
oh
do
my
it
God,
for me.
Absolutely. There's got to be someone that you just like the ultimate.
Hmm.
When you were a kid, who was your favorite band? I mean, there's got to be. Come on.
So it's a tough one. Like I've.
Oh. All right, sports. You're a sports geek.
Yeah, I was geeked out when we went to the Red Sox weekend.
See? All right.
And, you know, right. We were in line. And what they do at Red Sox weekend is, this was when it was in Springfield, you buy rooms and you buy times. Or you reserve rooms and times. They don't tell you who's in there.
Oh.
So you get to pick this room. You're going to be in this room at this time.
Oh my God!
Someone's going to sign an autograph, and someone's going to take a picture with you. You don't know who.
You don't know who.
You don't
That's
know
weird.
Well because they don't want to put out David Ortiz because it lets you know that he's going to be in this room because everyone's going to want to get
that's
in that
right.
room.
That's right. You're right. Makes sense.
And some other dude's going to be left all by himself. You know, so that's why they do it that way. And you know, I went with it was my daughter, Ashley, and she's like, oh, who do you think it's going to be? Who would you go bananas if it was? And I'm like, I don't know. I'd probably lose it a bit if it was Ortiz. And like a second later, all right, ladies and gentlemen, David Ortiz. Yeah, I did. I just kind of jumped up
see?
And down a little bit. Yeah, I guess I was a little geeked out by that. I see where you're coming from.
I have a good Red Sox story.
Okay.
When I was in Burlington in the 70s, we did the Jimmy Fund Radiothon. And Rico Petrocelli was there along with Mike Andrews. And I was the coordinator for the event. So I hung out with the guys. And as a thank you, they gave us tickets for a future game
mm-hmm.
and to come down and hang and get a tour and all that stuff. So I bring a date. And we're in Fenway. We're walking to our seat. And all of a sudden we hear, Joanne! And I turn and it's Mike Andrews. And the guy that's with me, my date, cannot believe that Mike Andrews is calling my name at Fenway. And we had seats right behind the catcher, and Pudge was the catcher.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was in love with Pudge. I didn't get to meet him, but I was in love with Pudge. Yeah.
So my daughter actually met him. Same Red Sox weekend, they had it at MGM, and, you know, it gets a little late, and I'm like, all right, honey, you go to the room, and I'm going to do a little running on the slots and the tables and stuff like that. But she discovered, and my daughter does not give a crap. My youngest, Ashley, does not give a crap. She'll go anywhere. She'll go to the front row until they throw her out. But she saw
no
that,
fear,
no fear, no fear. So she goes to right outside the hotel. Now we're in the hotel, so she's allowed to be there. And there's a line on each side. She's like, I wonder what this line's all about. Well, the players every so often would trickle out. And, you know, I'm playing the slots, and I get a picture. Dad, I got a picture with this guy. Who is it? I'm like, my God, that's Carlton Fisk. How'd you get a picture with Carlton Fisk?
Oh, my God, Pudge.
He was walking through, and he was charging people $20, but he didn't charge me anything. He let me take the picture. And
yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter met Carlton Fisk.
Yeah.
Joanne Bellow, thanks for joining us this morning. It was a lot of fun catching up. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Appreciate it, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. And tomorrow morning, I have no idea who's on the show tomorrow morning. I'll have to look at that.
Deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah. But lots of great music coming up here on WTBR today. And I will talk to you tomorrow morning here on Morning Drive here on WTBR.